9 days have passed since we celebrated the memorial blowing of trumpets. My message then was that we as Christians living and laboring in the Word should pray, prep, and proclaim the gospel of peace. Today, the 10th day of the 7th month in God's time, the message is still the same, but with the news that we are reconciled unto God the Father through Jesus Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse 15, "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." Let me repeat those words. He died for all. This is Paul writing. Those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then he summed up in those verses, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ." What does it mean to be reconciled of God? What does the Day of Atonement, an ancient feast of the Lord, and yet an everlasting statute, as it was said back in the Scriptures at least three times, have to do with our being reconciled unto God today? What is the ministry of reconciliation? In this message, we will see that the Day of Atonement, a shadow of things to come, and being reconciled to God are parallel in the plan of salvation, and also that God our Father has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So to begin with, what does it mean to be reconciled unto God? To answer this question, let's turn back to Leviticus chapter 23, the feast chapter. Everybody probably knows this chapter by heart. We've been reading out of it so much. But turn, if you will, back to Leviticus 23, and I want to begin in verse 26. Leviticus 23, beginning in verse 26, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also the 10th day of this month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God." What does it mean to be reconciled unto God? These few words right here, "to make atonement for you unto our God, unto the Lord your God." Atonement in the Hebrew is a Hebrew word that means to cover, to cancel, to cleanse, to expiate, to forgive, to pardon, to be reconciled or to reconcile. And also, as we read back in chapter 16, verse 32, you don't need to turn there, you just might want to make a note of it, that only the priest could make atonement. Only the priest could make atonement. Jesus Christ was the atonement for us, for you and me. Turn now, if you will, to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew 26, beginning in verse 28. Actually, beginning in verse 27. "Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." This is atonement. This is what atonement is talking about. We're being forgiven. Jesus covered us with his blood. Jesus canceled our debt. You can refer to Colossians 2:14, and you can see it where the handwriting is nailed to the stake. Jesus canceled our debt. Jesus pardons us when we believe in him and are baptized. Jesus cleanses us when we confess our sins, 1 John 1, verse 9. What does the Day of Atonement, an ancient feast of the Lord, have to do with our being reconciled unto God today? The Day of Atonement was a shadow of the things to come. Paul defines atonement in terms of the new covenant. Turn with me, if you will, to beginning. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, it says, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith and those who heard it. Our ancient brethren could not get the picture because they did not have God's Holy Spirit. Consequently, they did not have a faith that we can have through God's Holy Spirit, through believing that Jesus Christ is our personal Savior and being baptized and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. They did not have that. Hebrews chapter 10. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10, if you will. In Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 15, "But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, as he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord." Speaking of our brethren back then, our ancient brethren, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. So he's talking about that. And he says, "I will put my laws into their hearts," speaking about in the future, "and in their minds, and I will write them." Then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Jesus Christ covered us. He paid our debt, and our sins will be remembered no more. Turn with me now, if you will, to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, "In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. Christ circumcised us, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he has made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." Christ is our atonement. And he is the one who has reconciled us. But what does it mean to be reconciled? Reconciled is a Greek word. It means, if I pronounce it right, it's katalage. Katalage. And what it means is to earn back or to cancel out, to atone, to forgive. Almost the same words as what we read in the Hebrew word for atonement. Here in Colossians, we see that we are circumcised by Christ. We are buried with Christ in baptism. And we are raised with him through faith. And we receive his Holy Spirit, but we are also made alive together with him through his Holy Spirit. And we also are forgiven of all of our trespasses. What is the ministry of reconciliation? Turn with me now, if you will, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2.2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. "Now all things are of God. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ was the agent that made it happen, the living Son of God, the Lamb of God, the slain Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God, our high priest. But it was the God, the Father, who made all this to happen, to come to pass. It says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the word to himself and not imputing their trespasses to them. That's you and me, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So what shall we do? If we are to be reconciled, and if we are reconciled, does it stop right there? What are we to do? Why did Paul talk about the ministry of reconciliation? Going on in verse 20, he says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. Now, that's Paul saying that, speaking about through him and the apostles and ministers they were working with him. But are we not the same and in the same category? Are we not the priest of God Almighty, chosen, a royal priesthood? So then, are we not ambassadors for Christ? Are we supposed to be living the word and laboring in the word? As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Yes, we see that there's a second part to this reconciliation. Turn with me now to a final scripture, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, when Peter was preaching his sermon on the day of Pentecost, people were cut to the quick. They were being reconciled, and they said, What are we supposed to do? Beginning in verse 37, it says, Now when they heard this, speaking of Peter's sermon, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men, brethren, what shall we do? Well, that's the question I put to you and to me. What shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. And this is a promise that is made to all of us for here on out. What shall we do? We are to repent. We are to today. We've repented and we've been baptized. So today, now we are reflecting on that, as far as that relationship with God, our repentance, and that's the purpose for afflicting our souls, to humble ourselves and to have introspection on where we are in our life today in our relationship with God, our Creator. Of course, we've been baptized, and we also realize that the blood of Jesus Christ has covered us and that we are cleansed by His blood. We are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. Jesus Christ told us, He says, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. In Mark, He says, Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, you and I are not the mouthpiece of the work, but how we live and how we labor in the word is how we proclaim the gospel. A memorial blowing of trumpets is sounding out. Are we listening? As we afflict our souls, let us remember how precious the blood of Jesus Christ is, the Lamb of God, and that He is our atonement, our reconciliation for each of us. We have been atoned, cleansed. Our God has reconciled us unto Himself through Jesus Christ. That is beautiful. As ambassadors for Christ, we must learn to live and labor in His word to fulfill the ministry of reconciliation.